John chapter 14, and we're going to stand together and read the first three verses just to begin with. We'll keep our Bibles open and look at more things here. The title of the message this morning is Don't Stop Believing. Don't Stop Believing. John chapter 14, and let's read verses 1 to 3. The Bible says there, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Isn't that a good thing? It's a good promise to keep on believing, right? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let's pray. Let me pray and ask God to speak to your heart today. Father, I do thank you so much for the word that you've given us. Thank you for how you used your Spirit to inspire men, to breathe out your word to men. That holy men of old, holy men of God were able to speak, were able to write down, record down what the Spirit of God told them to write down. And we believe we hold a book that has been inspired, a book that's been preserved. It's your word. It's not man's words or a man's storybook. It's the words of God given to us, and we're thankful for that. I thank you for the promises here of Jesus Christ in John 14, and I ask you to use your word this morning to encourage our hearts. Help us to never stop believing. Never stop believing in you and your promises and your power and what you can do. Help us, Lord, I pray. Speak to us individually. Help us to respond to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. These words that we read here in John chapter 14 were spoken by Jesus, intended to be a comfort to Peter and to each of the disciples. Jesus knew that a time was coming very soon where they would be filled with doubts. He knew that a time would come where they would be filled with fear. They would be filled with disappointment. They would be filled with concern. Why was that? Well, it's because Jesus soon was going to be crucified. And this one who they'd walked with and who they'd seen perform miracles, this one who had taught them, this one who had been their friend for 3 years, is soon going to be gone from the scene. He's going to be taken. He's going to be crucified on a cross. He's going to be buried in a tomb, and they're going to despair. They're going to be filled with doubts. Jesus wanted them to not stop believing. The words that Jesus speaks here in chapter 14 are really just a continuation of the conversation in John chapter 13. I want you to look back there for a moment just to verse number 33, John 13, 33, where Jesus said, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you." It's going to be just a little while longer that I'm with you, he's saying. It says, "Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Where was it that Jesus was going to go that they could not go with him? Well, first, he was going to go to the cross of Calvary to die for their sins. They weren't going to go with him there. They were not going to go with him to the cross of Calvary. That was something that only he could do. That was something that Jesus had to do for our sins. Look down at verse 36, John 13, verse 36 to 38. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Where are you going to go? Jesus answered, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow." The cock being like the rooster. "The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. Peter could not go with him now to the cross, although he would later end up laying down his life. He would die a martyr's death later for the Savior. However, Jesus knew that on this particular night, despite Peter's bold and loving claim, "Listen, I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus. I would do anything for you." Jesus knew, and Jesus even told Peter that this night, "You're going to end up denying me three times. Before the rooster ever crows in the morning, you're going to deny me." These words of Jesus must have left Peter feeling discouraged. They probably left Jesus feeling disappointed. But Jesus goes on in chapter 14 and he tries to speak words of comfort. He tries to encourage Peter. Peter, yes, he would end up failing the Lord that night, but that was not going to be the end of it for Peter. In fact, I want you to notice again carefully the words of Jesus that he spoke to Peter. Notice again verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. But look, notice how he adds in this. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter would not be able to go with Jesus now to the cross, but Jesus did say that Peter would follow him afterwards. Jesus knew the love of Peter was deep. He knew the love of Peter was real. And even though Peter would deny knowing Jesus Christ on that particular night, Peter would rebound. Peter would have a comeback. Peter would do a U-turn. Peter would come out okay on the other side, and he would end up proving his love for Jesus. Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 14 because he wanted to help bring Peter through a low time. Peter would be discouraged. Peter would end up going out that night after he denies Jesus, and the rooster crows, and he looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at him, and he'd go out, the Bible says, and he would weep bitterly. I denied my Savior. I denied Jesus. I'm such a failure. I'm such a flop. Have you ever felt like a failure, a flop? Have you ever been disappointed or discouraged in your life and in your Christian life? Jesus wanted to speak these words to help encourage Peter. On a dark night when he would deny Jesus, he wanted him to be encouraged that he could fail and get back up. He could be brought back into a right relationship with God. These words were spoken by Jesus to Peter and the disciples to try to really bring comfort to all of them. Jesus knew they would all despair. Jesus knew they would all doubt. They would all wonder when their Savior was crucified and taken away from them and buried in a tomb. What's happened to him? What's happened to our leader? So look at John 14. He really speaks to Peter and all the disciples, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart worry. Don't have heart failure. Don't have a heart attack. Don't be overcome. Don't let your heart worry so much that you despair or get discouraged or give up. Don't do that. Listen, when you fail, don't lose your faith in Jesus. When you're hurting, don't lose your faith in Jesus. When your heart is troubled, don't lose your faith in Jesus. When your best friend dies, don't lose your faith in Jesus. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Let me give you a few thoughts quickly about this. Don't stop believing. Number one, don't stop believing that Jesus is coming again for his own. Don't stop believing that Jesus is coming back again for his own. If you are saved, if you've been born again, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're one of his. You're one of his own. You're one of God's children. Don't stop believing that Jesus Christ, he is coming back again for his own. For his own. John 14, 2 and 3. Look at that with me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, those words of Jesus, they ought to comfort us. They ought to encourage us. Hey, yes, he died, the one we believe in. He died and he was buried, but he rose again and he ascended to heaven. And he's been over 2,000 years preparing a place for all those who love him. He's been preparing a place for those who believe on him. Hey, it took Jesus just 7 days to create the heavens and the earth. How beautiful must heaven be if it's taken him all these years and he's still preparing a place for all those that believe on him, for all those that trust in him. Listen, don't stop believing that Jesus is coming back again for his own. This isn't the end of it for you. There is a better place awaiting if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Number one, don't stop believing that Jesus is coming again for his own. Number two, don't stop believing that Jesus is the only way a person can go to heaven to be with God. Don't stop believing that Jesus is the only way a person can go to heaven to be with God. Notice what it said, John 14, verses 4 to 6. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, don't ever stop believing that Jesus is the only way a person can go to heaven to be with God. Jesus Christ, He died on the cross and He was buried and He rose again. He gave some final instructions to the disciples and then He ascended to heaven. But you know what? The promise of His second coming is still true. It's still true. He's gone to prepare a place and He will come again for His own. He will come again for who? He'll come again for all those who have believed on Him as their personal Savior. All those that have believed in Him as the way and the truth and the life. Those that have believed in the gospel. Those that have believed that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Those that have believed on Him. Those that have put their trust on Him. You know, it's an act of faith that we need. It's not something passive. It is not merely a head knowledge of, I know who Jesus Christ is that gets a person to heaven. There are even religions out there that you know, teach about Jesus and believe things about Jesus the very same as we do. But they don't necessarily teach that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. They may teach that you've got to do these works, you've got to do these sacraments, you've got to do these things in order to really earn the favor of God and earn your way to heaven. But that's not the way it is. That's not what the Bible says. Faith in Jesus, believing on Jesus, is the only way to get to heaven. You think about getting on an airplane. I've told people many times, if I've been trying to witness to them, I said, listen, if I wanted to get on a plane to go from Toronto to Vancouver, I've got to really get completely on that plane, right? I can't decide, well, I'm going to put one foot on the plane and keep one foot on the ground. And I say, what would happen? I say, well, I'd split my pants, right? But worse than that, I wouldn't get to Vancouver. I'd split me. I wouldn't work. If I'm going to get to Vancouver, I've got to be willing to get completely on that plane, trust on that plane, trust on that pilot flying that plane. I've got to be willing to trust it completely, not a halfway thing. I said, you know what? It's the same way with Jesus. You've got to be willing to trust on Him completely. You can't just trust in some religion. You can't just trust in your good works. And I believe in Jesus. No, you've got to trust on Him completely to get you to heaven. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way. He is the only way. He is the truth and He is the life. He is the giver of eternal life. People can only be saved through believing on Him. Oh, don't believe any religion that would tell you there's another way. There's not. Jesus said, ye must be born again. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get saved through some man forgiving your sins, some man absolving your sins. I can only get my sins taken away by God when I come to God through Jesus Christ, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Don't ever stop believing. Don't stop believing that Jesus is the only way a person can go to heaven to be with God. Don't stop believing that Jesus is coming back again for His own. That ought to encourage you. Number three, don't stop believing on the power of Christ to use you. Don't stop believing on the power of Christ to use you. You think, how could God use me? I fail Him so much. I disappoint Him so much. How many times do I let God down? How many times do I respond wrongly in a situation? How could God ever... Listen, don't ever stop believing that God can use you. You say, but you don't know all my past and all the things I've done. I don't care about your past. God's grace and God's forgiveness is bigger than all our past. Don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you. You know this Peter, remember we talked about it in Sunday school this morning? He's the one that had the audacity to rebuke Jesus. And say, you're not going to die. You're not going to go do that. And Jesus says to him, get thee behind me, Satan. He says that to his beloved friend, Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Boy, there were some hard times in life between Peter and Jesus. Here on this night, he says, oh, I'd lay down my life for you, Jesus. And before the night's over, he's denied that he knows Jesus. He's not wanted to identify with Jesus. He's acted ashamed of Jesus. 3 times. Don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you. Look down at verse number 12. John 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, what's that next word? Believeth. Yeah, don't stop believing. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. I say, is that true? Is that true? That's what Jesus said. Don't hold it to me, hold it to him. Jesus said it. I'm going to my Father. I'm going to send the Spirit. Listen, you'll be able to do even greater works than what he did on the earth. Why? Because I go to my Father and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit unto you. He's going to empower you. Hey, don't stop believing that God in the power of Christ to use you. That ought to be a verse that encourages us and helps us to realize that, hey, we can be like Peter. We can fail the Lord. We can disappoint the Lord and he can still use us later. Did Jesus ever preach to crowds of people where thousands of people got saved? He never did. He never did. But you know what he used Peter to do later? Preached to thousands of people on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people got saved and baptized and added to the church all in one day. Wow! That's the power of Christ. Don't ever stop believing in the power of Christ to use you. You think, how could he use me? How could I be a part of some ministry? How could I ever win somebody to Christ? Hey, don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you. I think about the disciples who would be filled with doubts in the coming days. I think about Peter who was going to curse and swear, and 3 times that night he would deny that he even knew Jesus Christ. Listen, if Jesus can talk to that crowd and he can encourage them, then I think that you and I can also believe that God wants to use us. There may be times where we're weak in our faith. There may be times where we sin against God. But if God has the same power to use Peter and bless Peter, hey, he's got power to use you and power to use me. Don't stop believing. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Don't stop believing. Christ has power to use us if we'll restore our relationship with him when we do wrong. And we'll keep on believing in him. If Peter would have just, given up and quit, well, that would have been the end. We wouldn't have heard much more about Peter. But he was willing to restore that relationship. Jesus went out of his way to try to restore that relationship. And because the relationship was restored, Jesus was able to continue using him in a great way. If we'll restore our relationship, if we'll keep believing on him, if we'll not give up, listen, Jesus Christ has the power to work through frail and sinful human beings. Do you know that frail and sinful human beings is all he has to work with? Do you know there's not some elite that, man, that person is elite. That person is like the highest of the highest. There's only one that's the highest of the highest. And he has the power to use sinners. He has the power to use people that were nothing more than dirt. They got formed together and God breathed into them the breath of life. Hey, he has the power to use sinners that get saved by the grace and glory of God. Don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you. Listen, don't stop believing in the promise that, hey, he's coming back again for his own. Don't stop believing in that one way and only way through Christ that a person can be saved. Don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you. Number 4, don't stop believing in the power of prayer. Look with me at John 14. Look down to verses 13 and 14. Don't stop believing in the power of prayer. In the power of prayer. It says here, beginning of verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's Jesus speaking. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. We must not neglect to pray. Every failure is a prayer failure. Every failure is a prayer failure. What did verse 14 say? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That sounds pretty solid. Where do the failures come in? They come in on our part. When we fail to pray, when we fail to ask, when we fail to talk to God, when we fail to get God involved, when we just try to do things our own way, when we try to do things without His help or without His power, what does it mean to ask in the name of Christ? One preacher wrote this, to pray in His person means to be standing in His place. It means to be fully identified with Him, joined to Christ. It means that you and I are pleading the merits of His blessed Son when we stand before God. We have no standing of our own before God at all. He does not hear our prayers because of our name. He hears our prayers when they are in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, we may not have any merit on our own, but when we come in the name of Christ and we're standing before God the Father and we're petitioning the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ, we're standing there representing Christ and in the place of Christ. He can do amazing things. Praying in Jesus' name is presenting our request to the Heavenly Father based on the merit of His Son, Jesus Christ, and asking it for His glory. Praying in the name of Jesus is not, hey God, look at me, because I'm so good, because of what I've done, please give me this, please do this. No, I have no merit. It's coming before God. You would say, God, I don't deserve a thing. I'm just a sinner who You saved. But I come to You in the name of Christ because He's Your Son. And You love Him. And You want Him to be glorified. And You promise us that You'll do all things. You'll do anything. Because You want Him to be glorified. You'll do it for Him. Would you do it for Him? Would you do it for your son? John 14:13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. A prayer that will enable God to be glorified in the Son is the prayer that He will answer. So when we pray in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God, we're not praying for something selfishly for ourselves. We're praying for Him. We're praying that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The effectiveness of our prayers will also depend on our obedience to Christ. The effectiveness of our prayers will also depend on our obedience to Christ. Look at these verses again. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in My name, I will do it. Verse 15. If ye love Me, keep My commandments. The promise is given to those who love Him. And the evidence of that love is keeping His commandments. Love is demonstrated by obedience to Christ. A disobedient Christian does not love the Lord Jesus Christ as much as they may think they do. That may be a hard thing to think about or wrap our head around, but listen, a disobedient Christian does not love the Lord Jesus Christ as much as we may tend to think we do. We say, I love Jesus, but yet we don't want to obey His commandments. We love Jesus, but we don't want to obey His word. We love Jesus, but we don't want to do what He says. Hey, how would that work with your parents? How do you think that's going to work with me and my kids? Oh, I love you, Dad. Oh, yeah, but you're going to live in disobedience all week long? Boy, sure makes me want to bless you. That would sure make me want to give you an allowance. That would sure make me want to do something for you. That would sure make me want to take you there. Oh, you say that you love me? Why in the world? We treat God that way. We treat Him that way. There is great power in prayer. If we pray in Jesus' name and for God's glory, as we walk and live in obedience to Christ's commands. There is great power in prayer if we pray in Jesus' name and for His glory, as we walk and live in obedience to Christ's commands. Listen, when your heart is troubled about the future, when you're hurting, when you're discouraged, when you've sinned, when you've failed God, when you've disappointed God, when you're disappointed in your own life, don't stop believing. that Jesus Christ is coming again for his own. Don't stop believing that Jesus is the only way a person can go to heaven to be with God. And don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you if you'll just get right with him. Eventually, Peter did get right with Christ. He did get right with God. And God's power came upon him. And God blessed his life. And God used Peter in a wonderful way. God can use you. Don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you. And number four, don't stop believing in the power of prayer. Don't stop believing in the power of prayer. I want to give you one last thought here quickly. Number five, don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. You say, but I disappointed him. Don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. But I cursed and swore and denied him. Don't stop believing that Jesus loves you. But I rebuked him. Don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. But I sinned against him and I'm supposed to be a Christian. Okay, don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. But I've been unfaithful. Don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. The disciples would feel alone. There are times where disciples walked away. The disciples were in hiding. They were fearful after Christ was buried, crucified. Maybe they thought, we're going to be next. We're out of here. They weren't real bold in their faith then. Oh, they'd become bold later. Read the book of Acts, right? But then they were disappointed. They were fearful. They were afraid. They maybe had doubts about all that Jesus had said. Listen, don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. The disciples would feel alone when Jesus was crucified. The disciples would have troubled, hurting hearts when Jesus was dead and buried. Peter would feel like a failure because of his denying the Lord. And Jesus reminds them of his love and care. Even though he would soon be gone, Jesus promises his presence and he promises to them his peace. He promises to them his presence and he promises to them his peace. Look down to verse 25. John 14, verses 25 to 29. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Remember verse 1 in this chapter? Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now have I told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. There it is again. He said, I'm telling you all this because I want you to keep on believing. I'm telling all you this because I want you to make sure that you don't stop believing. When it seems like everything's gone awry, when it seems like everything's failed, when it seems like everything's going downhill, I'm telling you all this because I want to comfort you, he says, and I want to encourage you, and I want to make sure that when I've been crucified and I've been buried in a tomb and you're ready to give up, I want to make sure that you'll keep on believing. I want to make sure that you'll keep on believing, that he might believe. Jesus promises they'll not be alone. Because even though Jesus will be gone away to the Father, he'll send his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to live in them and to be with them and to comfort them and to empower them. In verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Listen, we don't have to live with troubled hearts over things we face because Jesus promises us his presence, the Holy Spirit of God to live inside of us, and he promises his peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Listen, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing that Jesus is coming back again for his own. You say, but it hasn't happened yet. Oh, he's coming. He's coming. I believe he's coming soon. Don't stop believing. Number two, don't stop believing that Jesus is the only way. person can go to heaven to be with God. Number three, don't stop believing in the power of Christ to use you if you'll get right with Him. No matter what you've done, if you want to be right with Him, He will use you. He has the power to use you. He wants to use you. Don't stop believing in the power of prayer. Keep on praying and keep on believing in prayer. Keep on asking in Jesus' name and for the glory of God, pleading it for Him. Number five, don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. Don't stop believing that Jesus loves you and cares about you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to believe. Help us to believe. We sometimes maybe get discouraged about our own lives, where maybe we're ready to give up. Maybe we think God could never use us. Help us to realize that's just a lie of the devil.